This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I'm guilty of thinking about SignStick as yet another smallish digital signage CMS company, scratching out a living with low-cost subscriptions and equally low-cost Android stick players. Based in Yorkshire, England, SignStick is a lot more than that. The company is indeed small, but doing some stuff that is a little bit mind-blowing. It does digital signage, but for some significant clients, it's doing a lot of back-of-the-house data mining and aggregation for communications that go well beyond screens. What I found really interesting is learning from CEO Nick Fernley how the company is using the intelligence on system-on-chip smart displays to do things like manage and aggregate geofencing data from trucks that are moving in and out of a retailer's loading docks. It's stuff that would much more normally be done by full PCs, and it is completely counter to the suggestion out there that these smart displays aren't all that bright. Fernley and I chatted at the back of one of the halls at Infocom last month in Las Vegas. You'll enjoy the chat and his Yorkshire accent. Okay, so Nick, we are on the floor of Infocom, reasonably quiet back here. Of course, something will happen to change all that, but right now it's pretty good. Known about your company for 2-3 years, but I don't know that much about it. And you're UK based, we've got listeners all over the place, but why don't we just start with the basics of tell me about SignStick, what you do.
Okay, so we started out as a digital signage company, for want of a better description. Our background, sort of the core of the team's background, is actually building investment banking software, sort of cloud before cloud was a thing.
Investment banking software?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So portfolio analytics, which is totally unrelated to what we do now.
Yeah.
But we identified that a lot of the platforms that were appearing, that were purporting to be cloud, were not really cloud. They were sort of evolutions of software that was already out there and had just moved into a server.
And how weren't they? Like, what were they? What's your definition of cloud versus what they were doing?
Well, they'd kind of taken a software package that they already had, that they'd run on sort of localized servers in a, you know, sort of on-premise, and then stuck them on another server in a data center. And that's not really cloud. I mean, it's a pretty wide topic.
Just means we're not hosting it.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to build something like cloud day one, you know. So we went right back to everything that we'd...
So I knew something would happen. But yeah. Giant carts of beer going by us.
It's quite distracting, isn't it? It is nearly the end of the day. So, yeah, we decided to build something that was like cloud first. And as technologists, we do understand, and I certainly won't bore you with it today, but we do understand sort of the core attributes that are required in a cloud platform in that way. So we went out and we started building a platform, and we quickly picked up some pretty exciting projects, certainly in the UK, and we were very UK focused in the early days. We were getting a lot of feedback, you know, really.
So wait, you're from the UK?
A lot of people would say Australia, but yeah, absolutely we are from the UK.
No, I wouldn't think Australia. There's no way you weren't from the UK.
Well, actually, a lot of Americans think we are from Australia, because we're from the north of England.
Yeah.
But so the platform evolved really quickly, absolutely down to the great clients that we'd gotten, the feedback, the really honest feedback. You know, this is awesome, this bit's not so awesome, you know. So we've worked with our clients over the past 3 years to really develop a platform that is genuinely differentiated. So, you know, we talk about digital signage a lot, and 50% of what we do is digital signage, and we like to now say that SignStick is a platform that can do digital signage, and we do a lot of digital signage, but we've gone way beyond that, and actually to the point where we're really influencing the thinking of some of the hardware partners that we've got, the panel manufacturers, to think about the platforms that they've got and the platforms that they're providing us as consumers, and using them in a slightly different way.
And why is that?
Well, because a lot of the panel manufacturers are talking a lot about system on chip. It's what everybody's after now. So, and they're seeing that as a, you know, no need for a PC or a media player, because we've got the capability to to manage all of that now within the panel and make a nice display. But I think that that's short-sighted. I think that the panels that are out there now have actually got capability to be, and without giving too much away about what we're doing next, they've got capability to be IoT processing nodes, you know. So we have actually got installations now. While the display is in use and it's used as a display, the primary function of that panel is to aggregate, process, and trigger off the back of what it processes. So it's actually, it truly is an IoT processing node.
So how does that work in lay terms? Like, what's going on? If you're describing that to somebody who didn't know a damn thing about the space, what's happening? Yeah,
absolutely, and appreciate that might have been an overly technical description. I'll give you a real-world example. So think about a retailer that has some fairly significant logistics systems and requirements. So we've got panels in retailers in the back of house, in the warehouses, that are managing and aggregating geofencing data from the trucks. So it understands where the trucks are, when they're arriving, what's on board, what space is required in the warehouse, integrates with third-party web applications, mm-hmm. aggregates that data, makes decisions about what messages to send to people who are on site in those locations. So it'll send SMSs or emails out to store managers or logistics yeah. managers. You know, the lorry's arriving now, you need to get to the warehouse and make sure this space is available. You know, stuff that was previously done on a PC, you know, running Windows and some proprietary software, is now managed entirely on the panel. And actually, the really interesting bit is that that business logic is now managed centrally in our cloud and distributed out across all of those stores as an IoT solution. The display is actually kind of incidental to the overall solution. And what's interesting is the panel manufacturers that are engaging with us now are going, you know, we never thought of our devices actually as IoT nodes. You know, we've tried to facilitate, you know, digital signage. And, yeah. and we're saying, no, digital signage is, you know, whilst it's important, it's massively important, it's evolving very, very quickly. And, you know, what we're demanding now as consumers of this technology is much more tightly integrated systems. And SoC gives us an awful lot of that, which is really exciting.
So, yeah, I mean, some of the criticism around system-on-chip displays historically has been there hasn't really been the processing power there to properly produce seamless HTML5 and everything else.
Correct.
That's kind of being conquered, but you're saying beyond that, that's just kind of like one of the things these things can be doing.
Oh, totally, and I would agree it's kind of being conquered, but one thing I would say to any panel manufacturers that might be listening to us is, you know, make sure that we get access beyond HTML. So there's things that we're doing on some panel manufacturers, you know, down at kernel level, you know, they're actually modifying the firmware at a much lower level than HTML. To give us extended capabilities that we just don't get through.
Yeah, and in lay terms, like what you're saying is, rather than working with whatever the panel manufacturer gives you in terms of their operating system and their particular platform, you're saying you're able to, you've had the cooperation from certain manufacturers to go in and basically wipe out whatever they've got on there and start over and do your thing on it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely augment what they've got. So, yeah. You know, and those panels are allowing us to do things like display thousands of textures. You know, we're into almost gaming technology when we're talking about sort of digital signage on those panels, things that are just not achievable in an HTML environment very easily. Also allows us as a software developer to make changes that we need to make very, very quickly, as opposed to going back and putting feature requests in for people to extend an Opera or a WebOS type browser. So it allows us to sort of escape the constraints, if you like.
Right.
It's not going to work for everybody, but we're a very technical company and it works absolutely perfectly for us.
Mm. And how many people do you have working with you?
Not enough by a long way. So, so we've only got 10 people in our core business, which is unbelievable. So another 5 roles out there for recruitment at the minute. And we've got a new office in September in the UK, hopefully. So we'll be a team of 15 people. Is that enough to do what we need to do? Well, our business model actually is to focus on the development of the software right now. So we do a lot of consulting, which is not something we did a few years ago, but we've given in now. So we work with a lot of our clients in sort of technology consulting. We are a technology-first company. So I don't think we're going to grow to be massive in terms of headcount, yeah. because we rely absolutely on the ecosystem, and we're making lots of friends in the industry and really enjoying that and getting a massive amount of support, which is great. So You know, we're here in the US. I'm spending quite a lot of time here now. Potentially a permanent move coming up in December, which is kind of exciting and a bit scary. But yeah, our international market's opening up, and we're going to rely on our ecosystem to assist us in seeing that to fruition.
Yeah, and to get into the US, you're really going to have partners, particularly on the deployment side, because like 10, I don't care if you got 15 people, that's not going to do it, is it?
No, not really. I certainly won't be coming across in my hard hat and boots, but and we have done that kind of stuff before. No, the scale of installations, I mean, even the scale of the installations we've got in the UK are beyond our capability to manage. So absolutely, we're going to need to rely on enterprise level installation companies. And of course, it's the support piece afterwards, David. It's not just about getting panels on a wall. It's maintaining that over. You know, we want long-term relationships. We're a business that's based on annuity revenue. So, you know, it's got to work. It's got to work all day, every day, or the client's not going to pay. So,
right.
You know, we need really strong partners in support as well.
You started, I mean, part of the handle of Sign 6 is the idea that you had a PC on a stick, really, as your as your first player.
Yeah.
I believe that's how it started.
It's
anyways.
Exactly right, yeah.
And you're still doing that, but you've kind of been, I suppose, kind of nudged into SOC as well?
Oh, massively, yeah. And it's fair to say that our own proprietary player, which is actually, it's based on Android, very high performance unit, but it's not a stick anymore, you know. The biggest issue with the sticks is cooling. The sort of frame rates and resolutions that we need to run at dictate that we needed a slightly different product. And yeah, SignSticks, the name was born out of that. There's a lot of brand value. If you speak to Anisha, who heads up marketing for SignSticks, she's working really hard on her brand repositioning at the minute. So not that we want to lose all that value and equity that we've got in the SignSticks brand, but you know, it doesn't really describe the platform that we've got, very much because, you know, less than 50% of what we do is digital signage actually now.
Yeah, I mean, SignSticks kind of suggests cheap and cheerful, and you know, we can put this up for your little digital menu board in the curry and chip shop, but sounds like you're way the hell beyond that in terms of the clientele you have.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's and our clients don't generally give us too much feedback on the brand. It's mostly the partners that are saying, wow, we just don't get what you do from the brand.
Yeah.
You know, but certainly if we dig into it, it's great. And the question really is, how's Anisha going to manage that transition and taking all that brand value and equity? How's she going to carry that across to the new brands? And I will say brands, because you're going to see some brand extensions as the right description of them. You're going to see brand extensions of SignSticks. And slowly over time, I think those brand extensions will make more sense in the SignSticks brand as it stands.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So what was the big moment when you got this going, like big client, big deal, or just like a milestone that you had that said, okay, this is actually going to turn into something?
Yeah, well, we started getting, quite a few responses back from RFIs and RFPs that we didn't really expect to get serious responses from. We started getting companies reaching out to us on big projects that had found us by accident or that heard on the grapevine that we were the right company to speak to. And that's all about the people, to be fair. We've got a fantastic team. The technology's awesome, but, you know, the technology's built by people. We've got a great team. But we started finding enterprise-level clients asking for international installs with, you know, long-term contracts. And I think it's at that point you think, you know, these guys are not stupid. They're seeing real long-term value in a relationship here. And actually, we're still a tiny company. What are we doing wrong? Why are we not, you know, in the top spot on all of these opportunities?
Yeah.
And it's not just about building the technology. It's about that brand recognition. So it's about understanding the marketplace. And fundamentally, I do believe it's about getting the right partner network in place globally to go and achieve our ambitions. And we are now paying that very, very serious attention.
But if there's RFIs and RFPs that you're responding to and you have these people looking at you versus all these other guys, what were they seeing in what you had versus all the other ones? Because I look at RFPs all the time and I'll get the responses and it all starts to look the same to me.
Yeah, no, and you're quite right. And I often look at the responses that my team put together and say, look, we need to revisit this. The question's being asked, but the question's being asked from a point of view, from an understanding, if you like.
Yeah.
And I think the key differentiator is that, and I always say, not in a rude way or disrespectfully, but don't rely on our customers to use their imagination in the same way that we can, because
yeah.
I believe that people's ideas and imagination is somewhat constrained a little bit by their understanding, you know? Yeah. So we'll often take an RFI or an RFP and, you know, look through it and suggest that, you know, you've asked that question, but actually, you know, you're really actually wanting to achieve something slightly different, and, you know, maybe think about doing this, or have you actually thought about maybe doing it this way? So sometimes we'll sort of go a little bit off-piste, and certainly most of the RFIs that we'll respond to, we don't just fill in the Excel sheet and send it back. We'd actually put a pack together and try and get in front of the client. And I think we've unlocked, you know, there are situations where we've delayed RFIs and RFPs because we've gone back with something that's just, yeah. you know, kind of blown their minds. And we're doing that quite a lot now. And that's where that consulting piece comes in. So we've got some really big international companies now on board saying, you know what, you know, can we look at a retainer for you guys to come in and tell us, you know, what can we do next? What's the next big thing? How should we be approaching this? You know, is this the wrong idea? Is this the right idea? So, and we're absolutely loving that. You know, we've got capability in doing
well, sure.
that, loving that value. Yeah, I mean, commercially, it's fantastic.
Monthly, software license revenue.
Yeah, well, it does. You know, there's two schools of thought on that. From a commercial perspective, annuity revenue is golden, isn't it? Certainly,
yeah.
in terms of building company value, and we love it, and it's great, and that was the core strategy. But, you know, it's always nice as well to get paid and recognised for that consulting piece that we're now doing, and I like that because that's. You know, that's that interaction that you kind of lose sometimes if you focus entirely on building a network of subscriptions. It's a bit cold, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose that interaction with the client, and you only really truly get that either on a massive rollout or on a project where you've got investment in
yeah.
the client.
And is it if I'm a prospective SignStick customer, am I licensing your software on a month-to-month basis, like pretty conventional SaaS stuff?
Yeah, I mean, again, because we've built everything from the ground up, so we're not really using much of anybody else's stuff at all, we're quite flexible on that. Most of our customers would look at a monthly per screen license in
yeah.
that SaaS sense. They're also, you know, I often now use the PAAS terminology because we have got this API that we
service.
Yeah, because we put the API out. There's lots of companies out there now looking at using their own systems,
yeah.
but extending them using the SignStick backend. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a subscription based platform, but we've got lots of enterprise level agreements out there. And actually, certainly through the resellers, there are a few agreements that are a little bit off-piste, you know, structured slightly differently. And we're quite open to that. Ultimately, it's about getting people using the platform and giving us that feedback to extend it and improve it.
Mm. Who is your biggest customer that you're allowed to talk about?
Well, the biggest, which is fairly substantial, and we're just mid-process with that customer. Unfortunately, I can't talk about. But certainly, we've got a couple of big ones in the UK. So we work with Sainsbury's Home Retail
Group.
Big
grocery.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've installed in there. That's the logistics project we talked about. So we've done a fair bit with those guys. In fact, every site in the UK, and continuing with all the other brands that they've got to get involved in projects, which is quite exciting. We're doing some stuff in 500 airports as well with a company that I shouldn't mention at the moment. But yeah, 500 airports, which is great because they're. I think every single one of them's in a different region, so it's a fairly interesting project in managing a very
so
distributed.
Should either be a newsstand or a duty free?
Actually, no, it's not. It's back of house, and it's very tightly
okay.
integrated
yeah.
with lots of exciting systems. And being a nerd, I kind of love that integration. So you know, a lot of companies like ours very much focus on front of house,
yeah.
but I feel that's again a little bit short-sighted because it's so
totally,
saturated.
Totally.
And we're actually coming at it completely the other way around. Most of the stuff that we do in front of house starts back of house.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just talking to another company and saying how that they've got data connectors and everything else. And I've said the stuff that really excites me in digital signage is not anything that a consumer's ever going to see. It's the people who need to be communicated to on the production floor, the work floor, logistics floor, or whatever. Who don't have other avenues to be reached. So this gives them all the analytics about what's going on, what they're behind on, what they're ahead on, how they're doing, warnings on things, everything else.
Compliance is a really big
yeah,
one as well. You know, how do you manage compliance on a large warehouse?
Yeah.
And you know, we've I'm not sure it's our terminology, but we do call that piece some communications automation. You know, and we do, if people ask us, elevator pitch.
That's a good term.
I like it as well. And it, I think it does describe, you know, certainly for corporate comms and that industrial piece as well. You know, we've got factory floors running Science Sticks. I did get I think it's a notional figure, but a business owner did come back and say it had a 30% improvement in productivity from putting a panel up with Science Sticks running on it, just because of the communication of what the machines are doing, what's required next, and having that up on a single screen on the factory floor. But yeah, it's all automation, communications automation. It's not digital signage in a consumer sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of machines that run on factory floors. You have, unless somebody's standing there looking at the radio, you don't know if it's if it's out of whack and it's not performing properly, and just adjusting this and that can make a huge difference to the bottom line for just like efficiency of the thing.
Massively. And what's stopping, you know, the platforms that we're building, and ours in particular, what's stopping those things making decisions in those situations? So, you know, a machine's running out, send an SMS, or, you know, something's not quite right, act upon it, even actually trigger changes within those machines themselves. And we've got that capability within our IoT module within Science Sticks right now, which is you're gonna see serious development on over the next few years.
It's kind of freaky. From my perspective, at least, if you've got a company of 10 people and you are winning deals with a pretty significant player like a Sainsbury and some other ones you can't tell me about officially, like, how do you get them over the hump? Because you would think a lot of companies of that scale would be pretty risk adverse.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and you can only pretend for so long when you're getting this contract. It's quite serious. Look, we're a really honest company. There are situations where a client might say to us, looking at you guys, it's the technology is exactly right, we like the people, but commercially it's a difficult one. And that's where we rely on our partners to assist us. So we've got some really, really great enterprise level partners who will, in that situation, will front the business and front the opportunity, and that works for everybody. They'll take the risk, and you know, they've got the history that we don't have, and obviously the financial clout that we don't have right now. And you know, we could get all of that stuff, but it means diluting the company, not in a commercial sense, but we also don't want to dilute, you know, what we've achieved in terms of direction and ethos and the little community that we've got.
So
within
you just kind of bootstrapped this thing and grew organically.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we're going to continue to do. And we are thinking big, and there are challenges in there. But you know what? I think the world's changed with cloud software. You know, you've got tiny businesses out of California doing amazing things in software now. Yeah, they've got more backing than we've got, but. You know, if we need it, we'll get it. So it's not really too much of a challenge, actually.
I don't know why you don't want to have a bunch of BMW driving, slick-haired bros in charge of you.
Well, it's definitely not BMW. That's not my favourite vehicle. But either way, it's a difficult one. Is that, you know, I don't think many people really want to be in the situation where they're told what to do on a daily basis, certainly by investors that don't really understand the business. But you know, it's the nature of the beast that you do sometimes need that. I do think though that the stage that we're on right now, I think that there are investors out there that do want to get a little bit more involved and understand the business. And you know, there are investors that want to spend the money on and get a return on that investment, but actually do want to be involved in really exciting cutting edge stuff. And I've had a few approaches by those, and we may well do something with them as required. But right now, as we stand here today, we've had the investment that we really need right now. Maybe that might not be the case in September when we've got this really next big push. And we'll just take a view at that point. But what you can rely on, and certainly what we give a reliance and give a guarantee to all our customers, is that, you know, this community that we've got, the way that we work, and the people that we've got, the way we do it, that's not going to change. If that changes, you know, I've my interest is going to wane a little bit. So pushing really hard to make sure that we maintain that.
What do you see on the horizon in terms of technology, whether it's software or hardware, that kind of gets you charged up?
So everybody's asking me when we're going to lose the panels. You know, when can we have SaaS without any equipment? Well, I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's a strange question. I've been asked it
magic.
Twice today. Yeah, absolutely. So beyond magic, I think we're going to see a lot more in terms of IoT. We're going to see a lot more of the technology that we've got right now aggregated. And I think we're still in a position where there's loads of cool stuff out there, loads of analytics, loads of cloud-based stuff. So we've got loads of cloud-based analytics. So we can now, you know, you talked about the limited processing power in some of the panels. Well, actually, that kind of goes away if you've got some reasonable broadband, some reasonable connectivity, because we can do all that processing in the cloud. And I think we're going to see a lot more systems being built around that aggregation, around IoT, and around the ability to control the solution, not the product.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we're trying to do with ScienceDix right now. Stop it being a, you know, oh, we can join our product up with another one. Actually have ScienceDix as the core to managing the whole solution end to end.
Okay. So if people want to know more, where do they find you?
Well, we're at www.signstix.com.
And it's sticks with an X.
It is sticks with an X, yeah. Sign, SIGNSTIX.com.
That's good spelling. Not .co.uk.
No, we managed to get the .com, which we you know, we've always had international ambition. The biggest challenge is not writing software. It's for me, it's always sales and marketing, and we're overcoming that now. But yeah, and please do reach out. We're in the UK. We've got lots of partners now that can support international, certainly international install. And on the bigger stuff, we are directly involved. My team are directly involved. We do jump on a plane, spending a lot of time away from home now, which is exciting. It's difficult, but exciting. And we are getting directly involved with our partners in the enterprise level opportunities.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.